decided it was time to choose what to do in my life, I wanted to offer what I could learn about these two questions, the two questions being what gets into us that turns us into violent people, and what can we do to maintain our compassionate nature. No one in my family had ever been to a university, and I had a chance to go to college, but I wondered what profession could help me in this direction. I chose psychology, thinking that people who are violent must be mentally ill, and maybe the best contribution I could make to the world would be to cure the illnesses that are causing people to be violent. So I went to the university and got a doctor's degree in clinical psychology. But in the course of my studies, I was exposed to a teacher who helped me to see some dangers of some of the concepts that were built into the clinical psychology that I was trained in. He helped me to see that maybe mental illness was a poor metaphor, and that the phenomenon could be understood better, not as an illness, but as how people are educated by the culture in which they live. And that maybe, therefore, what was needed is not a therapy as such, but what people needed who were being violent to themselves and others was a different kind of education, one that transformed the thinking that led them to suffer and to want to cause suffering for others into a thinking that contributes to compassionate connecting. He taught me this just as I was about to graduate, and here I had spent 9 years in college learning an approach based on pathology, how to cure pathology, and seeing this myth of mental illness, as he called it, and as Thomas Sasse, the psychiatrist, calls it in his book by that name, seeing the limitations of that, I asked this professor, well, what would you suggest instead? And he said, that's your job, to figure out what approach works better than looking at these problems as an illness. So after I graduated, I set out to try to look at things from a different standpoint, rather than thinking that the violence in the world was caused by some mental illness, to look at it in a broader perspective, to be open to the fact that what my professor said might be accurate, that the problem was in how social structures, governments, educate people in a way that leads to the violence. So I decided to start from the direction, what would it have to be like in order for us to stay with our compassionate nature, no matter what kind of structures we're functioning within? And what kind of learning would we need to go through when we see social structures that are educating us to be violent, that are contributing to violence, how we can transform them? So I did some reading in comparative religions to see what the basic religions on the planet, whether I could see some congruity in what they were saying. I also studied people who were living in a way that I valued and tried to see what made them different. And I also benefited highly from some research that Carl Rogers, the psychologist, did, trying to study what were the basic components of a healing relationship, what contributes to a relationship that helps people evolve and grow and heal from their wounds. From these different directions, I pulled together the process I now call nonviolent communication. Before I describe the process itself, it's extremely important that I make clear what its purpose is, what it's trying to serve. Because when we have the purpose in mind, the mechanics of the process can be very helpful in helping us live in harmony with how we choose to live. But if we don't have the purpose clear, it can become a sterile technique. So there needs to be an integration of these two dimensions, a clarity of how we choose to live, and then the mechanics of nonviolent communication will make more sense and then be used in a way that's with more integrity. So what is the purpose of nonviolent communication?